Well, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7. That's where we'll start looking, and then we'll be moving into chapter 8 today. And when you read through 1 Samuel, if you were to be observant, you would notice that you find that there isn't a lot of said about the middle years of Samuel's life. We are told about his early life, how he came to be and how he ended up at the temple and what happened there at the temple as a young boy where God came and spoke to him and so on. We are told of really just one event as an adult. We can guess maybe around about 30 years old, and we looked at that last week when he came and he preached to the people, and there was this so-called sort of revival take place in Israel. And so, but that's about all we get told about his middle age life. We got told about his young life, and then one event. But then when we get to chapter 8, we read this, and this is verse 1, and it came to pass when Samuel was old. And so all of a sudden, he's old. We've gone with a few chapters from chapter 2 and now to chapter 8. He's a young boy, now he's old. And so it went very quickly. And if you are in that older bracket, or you are happy to admit that you are old, you'd say, that's exactly how it happens in life. One minute you're a young boy or you're a young man, and then the next minute you're old. And it seems to go so quickly as it went here. But we see here that now he's old. Now, I don't know what age that really means. Maybe lifespan was a little bit less there. Maybe he was in his 40s. Maybe he was in his 50s. I'd like to think he was more in his 70s at least, or 80s, or somewhere around there. But he is classified in the Word of God as being old. So we know he's old in God's sight. And all we're told of what he did predominantly through that time from being young to old is what we read in our Bible reading this morning. Apart from that one event where he preached to the people, all we're told is that he judged Israel all the days of his life, and he did a circuit where he went from Bethel, and then he went to Gilgal, then he went to Mizpah, and then he went back home to Ramah. And he judged the people, and he did this circuit on a regular basis, daily or weekly, yearly, serving and ministering to for the Lord in this capacity. And you might think to yourself, well, that's not very exciting. You know, when you consider that God, in his word, puts Samuel as one of the great prophets of his, he puts Moses and Samuel on par with one another. These are the two great prophets, really, and he highlights them in different areas. And you look at what Moses did and the miracles he's performed, and how he was able to take that whole nation out of Egypt and lead them finally to the promised land, and everything that went on in the midst of all these things, and you compare Moses to Samuel, you think, boy, they are so different. One had a spectacular life, one had a rather boring, monotonous life, if you want to look at it that way. If they were truly on par, you would think surely Samuel would have done some great miracles along the way. Surely he opened up a few, at least rivers, if not seas, and walked through on dry land. Surely he raised some people from the dead or delivered some people out of a terrible time. Surely he did more than just faithfully do what God wanted him to do year in, year out. But that's only our thinking. Because we like the extravagant, we like the big, we like the noticeable generally. But the fact is, all we are told about Samuel is that he faithfully served the Lord year in, year out. And what we need to realize is that in God's sight, that is what he is really looking for. Because when you stop and think about it, God can use anybody to do great miracles. He can use anyone to call down fire from heaven, because who brings the fire? God. He can use anyone to go and touch someone and raise the dead, because who actually raises the dead? It's God who does that. Who actually parts the sea? It is God who does those things. And so, quite frankly, he can really use anyone to do that. He can get a two-year-old little girl to go and touch something and something marvelous happens, because it is the power of God that does that, not the power of the person. Yet the Lord knows it's a lot harder to find someone who is faithful to him day in, day out, year in, year out. That's a lot harder. Because he has to also work with that person and find someone who is like that. And that's what God is really looking for. That's what God really needs and what he loves. Many love the big show, and they would love to be like Moses, and they love the spectacular things, and they might enjoy that for 3 or 4 years. But then when all the spectacular things go away and it's just standard normal living, well, then they lose interest. But it's far harder to find someone who will do their duty, even if it's behind the scenes, even though it's not spectacular, and do it day in, day out, every day of their life. That is a very rare thing to find in a person. You know, most lose interest very quickly. Most are not committed for that long to things. And that's why the Lord knows it's special to find someone like Samuel. And that's the type of person, can I encourage you, that he's looking for in each one of us. You know, if you're involved in the one-way ministry, please understand that what God is looking for is week in, week out, stability and commitment. And I know, because I've been involved in that for a very long time, when you are going to the church and doing it, it can be really hard, can't it? It sort of 1 week drifts into the next. I tell you what, I haven't had to do this, but doing it online I think is just even harder. But it is a very hard thing. But what God is looking for are leaders who will go in, week out, and consistently teach the Word of God to others. That's what he's looking for. And I know camps are exciting. Going to a camp, doing different things, that's often when something happens and someone makes a decision. Everyone loves camps, but the camps are worth nothing unless there are those who will be consistently working week in, week out with those children as well. That's the faithfulness that God wants. Same with a Sunday school teacher. You know, you don't get very much excitement there. But there is a need, as God says, to teach layer upon layer of the foundations of the Word of God, which will hold young people in good stead as they mature. That's what he's looking for, faithful people like that. You know, that's why it can be very hard to be a pastor. A lot of people like the idea of an evangelist or something like that, because they go to a church and then they see something, someone walks an aisle and it's exciting. Then they go to another church and the same thing might happen. But for a pastor, it is like you're like the tortoise that just plods along, and you need to consistently and regularly continue to do what you're meant to do year in, year out, teaching God's word and being there and so on. And it can be hard. But faithful service is what God is looking for. God's looking for those who have a character, who want to commit and submit and stay doing what God has called them to do. And one man that did that is certainly Samuel. We see here that Samuel had a wonderful testimony, that he stayed committed to what God had called him from a boy to when he was an old man, and he did it faithfully. Have a look at chapter 12, would you, of the same chapter. Have a look at chapter 12, and I'll read from verse 1. And this might give us a little bit more of an indication of how to determine if someone is old or not as well. Verse 1, it says, "And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that you said unto me, and I have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and grey-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day." I see here you need to have probably adult sons, for starters, and being grey-headed is another one. And we see here, maybe it's just getting too hard to do what you're meant to do by yourself, all right, as well. Okay, there's some little observations to see if you're old or not. But this is what he says in verse 3, "Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us. Neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness." And so this man had a wonderful testimony. From a young boy to when he's an old man, he ministered and did what God wanted him to do. Not only that, he did it admirably, honestly as well. And at the end he said, "Okay, before all of you here, now that you have a king, like you asked, you tell me, have I taken anyone's bribe? Have I done anything wrong? Have I defrauded anyone?" And they said, "No." He was committed to the task, and he was honest in the task as well. You know, Eli, he was committed to the task. He obviously was there as an old man, as a priest in the temple, but he certainly didn't do it honestly. But Samuel did this, and he did it all his life. And as we get to chapter 8, we see that he is definitely an old man, yet he's still been faithful. And this is something that we can all be. Can I encourage you with that? We can all be faithful. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, it says this, "Moreover, it is required in stewards," that is, servants of God, "that a man be found faithful." We can be faithful to God's work. We can be faithful to our family. We can be faithful to God in honoring him. Whatever God has gifted you to or with in a spiritual way, and the opportunities he opens for you to do that, you can be faithful. We may not all be Moseses, the spectacular, but we certainly all can be Samuel. You know, when I started going to Bible college, and I was, I think, 21 when I started, went to Bible college, it wasn't long before it was obvious to me that I was in the bottom of the gifts ability. You know, if I had to stand up and say something, I couldn't. I didn't have any words to say. I was shaking. terribly. I just couldn't speak. I couldn't do things. And it became very obvious to me that other people could just get up and talk. They could talk underwater, and they spoke so clearly and fluently, and what they said made sense. And to the degree that I thought, I don't think I should be here. I'm not the type of person that that should be going to Bible college and going into the ministry. And I am thankful for some faithful people that in my discouraging times reminded me that, no, God has gifted you in whatever way, and all he has asked you to do is be faithful. And that helped me tremendously. And that's how you ought to be seeing yourself. Don't look at what others have, what sort of gifts or abilities, or if they're like a Moses or an Elijah or Elisha. If you are a Samuel who just is going to faithfully serve the Lord all your day, week in, all your life, week in, week out, doing whatever God has called you to do, that is still an amazing thing in the sight of God. And that's what Samuel was. And praise God for him. And you know, we could leave it there and could nearly make a very short service. But I want us to notice just two things very brief. I say briefly, it will be pretty brief. And see that despite Samuel being faithful all his life, that doesn't mean that he got it easy. He wasn't faithful to the end because it was just simple and easy, just going through the motions. No, he had some heartaches along the way. And yet he still remained faithful. And that's what I would like to encourage us with as we just look at two of these heartaches of Samuel, where we see as an old man. The first one we see is that he would have been heartbroken by the sin of his sons. Have a look at chapter 8. Starting at verse 1 again, and it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. So he gave them one little place to judge in, or one town. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Could you imagine the heartache that this would have brought to Samuel? That his sons, he places them in a position of authority and responsibility, and they end up acting very similar to the sons of Eli, who God judged severely. I suspect that as he was getting older, he's thinking, I just can't do the circuits and I can't get everywhere. I'll get my two sons and you guys look after that. And he would have trusted them with that. And now he discovers, or God, we're revealed in the Word of God, that they were corrupt and they weren't doing the right thing. These men were a far cry from their father. And they certainly lacked the same spiritual character that their father had. It says there in verse 3, and his sons walked not in his ways. That's heartbreaking. Joel and Abiah turned aside and took bribes and perverted judgment. When someone came, there was a dispute, and instead of judging correctly, one said, look, here's my pig, I'll give you a pig if you go in my way, and so they judge in that way, and they were perverse. And so, to Samuel's great disappointment, his sons didn't work out in the ministry of being the judge and the priesthood. And Samuel went down as being another man of God whose children didn't follow in their ways. And that seems to be a very common, consistent thing. And if everyone knew why and how to stop it, I suspect there would be books written about it. Maybe there is, and I haven't. If I was to use my experience, And I love my father, and he was a great dad, but he had some flaws. If I was to use my experience, I would say maybe Samuel was out too much of the home to really bond with his sons. You know, surely he sat down and said, "Boys, let me tell you what God's voice is like. I hear him speak. It's amazing. Oh, you never want to go against him. I want to tell you what God said this time." And the way he says it, surely they got those stories. If they didn't, that could have been the problem. Maybe he didn't spend enough time at home. Maybe he was too busy helping others and didn't help his own sons enough. I know that was probably my upbringing. My dad was very good at helping everybody else and tend to ignore his children because he was so dedicated to the ministry. And sometimes you can have a blind spot to your children, just thinking they're just going to work out the way they should. I don't know, but there's a lesson that we can certainly learn from Samuel, and that is we can't just take it for granted that our children are going to walk in our ways. Just because we're Christians, just because we love the Lord and we go to the church, just because we speak about him often, doesn't mean our children are going to do the same. Our children are lost, depraved sinners, just like any other child in this world. And their sinful flesh will tempt them, beg them to be evil, and encourage them to corrupt themselves in any way imaginable. And their heart is just as deceitful and desperately wicked as everybody else. And so it shouldn't surprise us if our children are evil and wicked and seek to do sinful things. That's how it is. We are all born with a deceitful, corrupt heart. And I don't believe it's going to be an accident if they do follow our ways. You know, there are things that I believe every Christian parent can do to help prevent it. It's not a 100% surety, but there's some certain things that we can do. And if we don't, well, then it's just going to make it easier for them to go away. What we certainly need to do is to make sure we live a consistent life before our children, that when they hear us talk at home, we're talking about the Lord. When they hear us talk, we're not criticizing others. We're not being evil, speaking evil of others, that we are actually not fighting against each other and yelling with each other. And then when they see us in public, we're all lovely and they can see hypocrisy. We need to live a consistent life that portrays Christ in as they grow up, because they see that. We need to be spending time with them so that they know that we actually care for them personally. They're just not there and they're sort of in the way a lot of the time, but they are treasured enough that you want to spend some particular personal one-on-one time with them because you love being around them, and that love causes a bond. You need to be praying for them every day. You need to be teaching them the Word of God and spending that time around the table or wherever it is and showing them the things of God. But don't think you can show them the things of God and then afterwards you start yelling at each other as parents and saying terrible things. That's just hypocrisy. And I can tell you, I know that I may have had a distant father when it came to spending personal time, but he got everything else right. And I'm so thankful for that. We need to introduce our children to our Jesus and our Savior and how we love him. And we're going to put him first before anybody, because he is the most important thing in our life, because he is our God and he is our Savior and he is our Lord and our King. And as they get to know him, then they'll love him as well. And I'll confess, my children probably don't know this because I sort of came around before it, but when they were just very little, more so up in Coffs Harbour, I fell into the trap of something that I had just got from my father, where I was very busy helping everybody else's children. You know, I was involved in one way, a youth group and Sunday school, and then as a youth pastor and then a pastor itself, I was very busy helping my other people's children and other people, and I would see my children. I left them there lots of nights, lots of times, and I had in my head, they'll be okay. That's all right. You know, they're my children. They won't grow up to be bad. And it was only, I don't know how it hit me, but one day I know what had happened, and that's another story in itself. But I realized I can spend my whole life focused on everyone else's children and ignore mine. But if my children don't grow up to love the Lord, I've failed as a father, and I've failed as a pastor, and I have failed in the most important job. And so things changed dramatically for me, and I prioritized things very differently. And if you're a parent and you're thinking, how can I serve God today? Well, look at your children and say, I'm going to put everything into them. These lockdowns might be the best thing for us, where you can't go and spend time helping other people's children, helping other people, and all you can do is focus on your spouse and your children. Put 100% into them. Build foundations for them so that they are going to be strong in the future. It could be the biggest blessing, these lockdowns, for your family. Because when things open up and things change, we do have to spread our time and be busy doing other ministries and things. But please don't ignore your children, regardless. What a heartache for Samuel that his children didn't follow his ways. And the second heartache for him was the people themselves that he ministered to rejected him. Have a look at verses 4 and 5. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto them, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Now, that probably would have hurt him to hear, your sons are no good, we don't want them to judge us. We're worried when you die that we're going to get stuck with them. Maybe that was the first time he's realized it, I don't know. That would have hurt. But that was the reason why they didn't want them, and they wanted to reign, judge over them, and they wanted a king instead. But I do believe the real reason is found in the last part, is make us a king to judge us like all the nations. And you've heard this. The children of Israel wanted a king like everybody around them. They had this unique thing, that God, that invisible deity, was their king, and he would speak to his prophets and tell them. But they wanted someone they could see and go to personally and look at. They wanted access to a king. They wanted to be like everybody else. And there is no doubt that Samuel took that personally, that was a personal attack on him. It says in verse 6, But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. You know, Samuel felt rejected, as we'll see. Wow, I've been here judging. You don't trust me. And you don't want me anymore. Because he hadn't finished his work. They might have thought he's only got another day or two, but he might have had a few more years left in him. But they said, no, we want a king like all the other people around. And he felt rejected. Notice his response. He went and prayed to the Lord about it. He went and prayed to the Lord. And notice what God said. Verse 7 and 8. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee. Right? but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I have brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. The Lord knew why Samuel was upset. Samuel felt rejected. But God says, Samuel, they haven't really rejected you, they've rejected me as their God. And that's what we need to remember when we feel rejected in ministry, you know, wherever and however we minister, or rejected by our family because we may stand for the things of God. If we have told them what they wanted to hear, or we lived how they wanted us to live, they would love us. But if we tell them what God says and we live how God wants us to live, and they are rejecting us and saying things about us, we need to stop and remember that they are ultimately rejecting Christ as well. And the Lord came and comforted Samuel. You're feeling rejected because you're doing and living how Christ wants? Go to the Lord for comfort. And after this, the Lord tells Samuel to go and protest. Tell them how bad it's going to be if they go down this line. And warn them. And that's what Samuel did. And we read in chapter... that's what they did, but notice their response in verse 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations that are our king, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battle." See, they wanted a king that they could see. So they refused to listen to Samuel. How foolish. This is the thing that I get out of this. Here is a man that it was made obvious from the beginning of his ministry, and he was a young boy at that time, that God spoke to him. God's word was coming through him. And then he faithfully, year in, year out, for years, probably 40 years or so, more maybe, he faithfully ministered to the people, showed his love for them by not defrauding them, not taking bribes, doing the right thing by them, teaching them the word of God. He had proven that he is someone that they should seek counsel from and listen to. Yet when it came to when it really counted, and he says, "God says, don't do this, it's going to be terrible," all that faithfulness goes out the window and said, "No, we're going to do what we want." I tell you what, that breaks a person's heart. I tell you what, that breaks a pastor's heart when that sort of thing happens. And can I encourage you, and I'll just say this, to have a pastor who is faithful for years is rare. If you've had a pastor that's been faithfully serving and ministering God's word for 10 years, you should be very thankful for that. If you've had one, or if you get one that's been there for 20 years or 30 years, that is a miracle in itself that they've been faithful, and you should thank God. But don't throw all that faithfulness out when it comes to the important things. When you're trying to work out what I should do in this area of my life, which can change the direction of your life, or where I should fellowship or go to church, or what is one of these big decisions in my life, well, I don't even bother to go and seek the man of God that I've been listening to and he's been teaching me the word of God year in, year out faithfully. I don't even bother to go and ask him. I'll find someone on the internet will tell me. Maybe there's something about at least going to the man of God that God has placed as your shepherd and seeking advice, godly advice. And even when it doesn't quite make sense, maybe at least trusting him a bit. They didn't trust Samuel. And they rejected what he said. And this is what God said in verse 22. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. God said, just tell them they can have what they want. You know, that's a very scary thing when God says you can get what you want. You can reap what you've sown. I'll let you do that. You know, there have been plenty of times I've wanted things, and I am so thankful that God didn't let me get them, because I couldn't see through the deceitfulness of my heart, and I know now that if I went down that path, I would have had to reap some terrible things. And I'm so thankful he stopped me one way or another. There were some very cranky people in my life that would come and really rouse on me. Right, and it hurt me, but it put me back, and I actually didn't go those directions, and I'm thankful. And if anyone knows Mr. Jeffress from Condell Park, you'll know what I'm talking about. I praise God for that man. He roused on me quite a number of times and put me on a right track. Dear, I needed that. Because if God had just let me get what I wanted, who knows what would have happened. It's a very scary thing to be allowed to just do what you want, and God lets you reap what you sow. But Samuel, he was on the other side. And you can choose what side you're on, someone that needs to receive counsel or give counsel. But let me tell you this, despite his heartaches, he remained faithful. And even though others were sinning around him, he was faithful. Even though he often had mundane jobs, he was faithful. Even though when he preached, no one listened to him, he was faithful. And that's what God is looking for as well. And so there's a lot there, a lot here today. And I trust, regardless, you'll just take it as from a pastor who loves his sheep. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you'll be with us today. Thank you that you are the good shepherd. And Lord, help us to follow you. And Lord, when we stray from your ways, I pray that you will send people across our paths to warn us as well. And that we would have the meekness and humility to listen as well. And Lord, we all need that. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us this day. Take your word, use it as you see best. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.